Well, hey there. Thanks for taking a few minutes to tune in and spend some time. I wanted to share with you a message that the Lord had given me a few weeks back. I did try sharing it on a Sunday night, but again, what I'm finding is that really what enables me to give you the most of what God is showing me, that I need to do it like this so that I can kind of take my time and not worry about, taking too much time from what we are doing and what we want to do on our Sunday night gathering. So, today I'm going to talk to you about the value system of heaven. And, this kind of took me a little bit by surprise because I hadn't been thinking at all about the verse that we're going to look at today in Isaiah 11, but it just all of a sudden came into my field of view, so to speak, and I can't even remember how it happened. I just know that all of a sudden I was looking at Isaiah 11 verses 1 and 2 and realized that, wow, there's something there that we need to really understand better and actually learn how to live out of. So I'll just read the verses to you. It says, "Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." And so, this is obviously a prophecy that Isaiah gave concerning Jesus, the Messiah. And it talks about how Jesus has all of this awesome stuff from Holy Spirit that is in and upon him, talking about how the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. And we understand how that happened, right? You look in Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, and it talks about how Jesus came to John in the Jordan. He was baptized, and immediately it says, coming out of the water, he saw the heavens open, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him, and a voice came out of the heavens, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." So we see that. And John, when he recorded this incident, this event, he says, John testified saying, "I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him." Okay, that's John 1:32. So Jesus had this encounter with Holy Spirit that launched him into his earthly ministry. And he tells us, right, that that's something that he has for us as well. So before he makes that final trip back to heaven, after he's been resurrected from the dead, Acts chapter 1, 4 and 5, gathering them together, Jesus commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Right? And so we understand that in Acts chapter 2, that's exactly what happened, that the Holy Spirit came, the noise like a violent rushing wind, the tongues of fire that were on everybody's head, they were all filled. Acts 2:4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. So, what are we seeing here? We're seeing that the same Holy Spirit who came, descended, and rested upon Jesus in order for him to do his earthly ministry, that same Spirit is now available and upon us, those of us that have opened our hearts to that fullness of Holy Spirit, and we've been baptized in him. Well, that it's the same Holy Spirit, right? So what is that telling us? Everything that Isaiah prophesied about Jesus and how Holy Spirit would rest on him and he would have all of these other kind of components, right? Wisdom, understanding, counsel, strength, knowledge, the fear of the Lord. Each of those things is now ours because we have the same Holy Spirit. And so we need to understand, okay, what does that mean? And what the Lord's, you know, what he showed me is that these things actually represent the value system of heaven. Now, I don't have to tell you, if you have been either part of our Sunday night gatherings, or, you know, if you've been following the teachings that we post here on YouTube or on our website, that heaven's invasion is all about seeing what is in heaven come to earth and be manifested, be experienced by not just us, but the world around us, right? That's heaven's invasion, right? We're looking to see what the Lord has, you know, what's going on there to be released among us and out through us into the world at large, right? So it makes sense that whatever the value system of heaven looks like, that that's going to be part of what it looks like when we're bringing heaven to earth. And Jesus said, don't forget, right, in Matthew 6, he commanded us to declare, you know, your kingdom come now, your will be done now on earth as it is in heaven. So we're not doing anything out of the ordinary or extra biblical. We're really doing what Jesus commanded us to do. But in order for us to fully express that, right, to fully experience that, there's a lot that we need to come into agreement with. Because see, that's been the holdup. The holdup has been us. There's so much that, you know, the Lord wants to release, but we're still kind of not quite seeing it or agreeing with it. We still have ideas, right? We still have mindsets and strongholds that, you know, we just did that whole long series on strongholds. So if you haven't gone through that, go through it, because it really will help you to get free from mindsets that would hold you back. And so, you know, but that's the idea, is that our thinking needs to be renewed. Our minds need to be renewed so that we can come into agreement with what things look like, with what things are like in heaven, so that we're actually experiencing them here on the earth and that we can then release them. So what's interesting about this verse, at least it was interesting for me, is that in my version, which I have the New American Standard, it's a personal preference. I personally believe that it gets a lot of things right when it comes to some of the more mundane grammatical things, you know, especially in the Greek. Now, we're in the Old Testament here, so it's the Hebrew. But in this version, you'll see that there's a distinction between Holy Spirit and these other spirits. Because Holy Spirit, obviously, Spirit is capitalized. But in listing these other spirits, a lowercase s is used. Now, you know, we've got to pay attention to these kind of things, because it's not by accident, you know, that it's written this way. So, and unfortunately, a lot of people, as I've, you know, looked at some of the other teachings that have been done about this verse, people are saying that, well, you know, these are just manifestations of Holy Spirit. These are the seven spirits of God. That's one way that it's been described. You know, you've got the Spirit of the Lord, and then they you know, include these other six as distinct, you know, aspects. I'm not sure how they actually divide it up, but, you know, they're not seeing the fact that the word here, you know, is a lowercase s. So what is that talking about? Why is that important? Well, whenever the word Spirit is not capitalized, in other words, it's not referring to Holy Spirit, it can only be referring to one of three things. The first would be a demon spirit. Okay, we don't capitalize the s when we're talking about a demon spirit. The second one would be our human spirit, right? We all have a spirit. We're spirit, soul, and body. And when our human spirit is being referred to, it's used with a small, you know, lowercase s. The final way that this word can be used is as a value, right? A value is something, well, let me just go back a little bit and explain why. Where I came up with this as an option. A spirit as a value, it's describing something that's important, okay? And, you know, for me, what kind of helped me see this was, you know, I'm old enough to have lived through the bicentennial of our country, you know, the U.S. And that was in 1776, right? 1776 was the year of our Declaration of Independence and the founding of our country. So in 1976, we celebrated our bicentennial. And there was all kinds of banners and signs and whatnot. And they said, amongst the other things, they said, the spirit of 76. And was harking back to the kind of attitudes and feelings and values that the folks who fought for our independence, what they had, okay? And so it really got me thinking in certain cases where the scriptures use a lowercase s, that, wow, Lord, you must be talking about something like that, that there's a value here that we need to understand. And so in this case, we're going to look at these six things as values that make up the value system of heaven. So let me just define this for you a little more clearly. Values are enduring, passionate, motivating, important, distinctive core beliefs by which we define our priorities and goals. I'm going to say that again. Values are defined as enduring, passionate, motivating, important, distinctive core beliefs by which we define our priorities and our goals. In other words, values are why we do what we do. Okay? It explains why I engage in certain behaviors and I have certain, you know, priorities in my life. It's because I have certain values, right? They're so important that they're basically non-negotiable. Okay? I'm not going to back away from these things because they're too important to me. And I think if you reflect for a moment on yourself, you can identify certain things that for you are so important that you would never, ever think of giving them up. You know? Like for me, my value for seeing people get set free into their full potential as sons and daughters of God, oh man, you know, you could hold a gun to my head. And I would never back away from that because that is so important. That forms the why of my life, okay? And that's what values do. They help define the why of your life. What motivates your actions? What motivates your thoughts, okay? So these are what values are. And in this particular chapter, this particular verse, really, we have an amazing list of things that are so important to the Father that He will never stop valuing these things. He'll never stop wanting these things to be important for us, right? So we need to really begin to understand what these things are. The Holy Spirit, He's the one that carries them all, right? He imparted them to Jesus, and He wants to impart them to us, okay? So let's look at each one. The first one is wisdom. Now, wisdom is the ability to know what is the right thing to do in every situation, along with the skill to do it with excellence, okay? It's one thing to know what to do, right? It's like, okay, you know, I know that there, I have a problem with this person, that I you know, offended them, and I know I should take care of that. That's knowing, you know, that you need to do something, but how do you do it? Where's the how there? How should I approach this? And how do I do it in such a way that I do it with excellence? That's where wisdom comes in, knowing what to do, how to do it, and how to do it well. The next one is understanding. And that's the ability to comprehend what God is saying. It's like a spiritual intelligence. And we know that that's something that we have, right? Because the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. So we have been given an ability to comprehend the things that God says. Paul makes that very clear in his letter to the Corinthians. I think it's around chapter 3, where he talks about how the natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit. You know, he can't understand them, but we can because we have the Holy Spirit and we've been given the mind of Christ, right? And the other part of this of understanding is an ability to discern the true source of whatever kinds of revelation or information are coming to you. And there's really only three sources, right? God, our own spirit, our own mind, or the enemy. And so understanding is not, you know, goes beyond just simply comprehension, but there's also an aspect of discernment that is included in this understanding ability that we have in Christ and the value for that, right? Next one is strength. And this is the power to carry out plans or strategies successfully. I'm sorry, I just missed counsel. Let's go back to counsel because that's the plans and strategies right there. Counsel is the ability to receive and formulate plans or strategies which are designed to carry out the purposes of God. Okay? And what this really is talking about is our ability to hear God and be prophetic. You know, this idea of counsel is very much a metaphor for the prophetic, where we're able to receive revelation from the Lord, and from that, to partner with Him to formulate plans, to formulate strategies that are designed to carry out what's in His heart, the will of the Lord, right? The kingdom that He wants to establish. Whatever His purposes are. And then paired with that, of course, now is strength, which is the power to carry out those plans or strategies successfully, engaging in them from the posture that you are already victorious. That's an important aspect of this word strength, is that it's not just simply having power, but it's power that's wielded from the standpoint that we've already won. Now it's a question of more enforcing the victory that Jesus won. We've been given the power, we've been given the authority to take those plans, those strategies, implement them in a way to enforce and establish what Jesus, you know, what He won through His crucifixion and resurrection. Okay? Then we move on to knowledge. Now you might think, well, knowledge, that's kind of sounds like understanding, but it's a whole different thing, okay? It's the ability to personally engage in something with someone such that you receive new information from that experience, okay? So think about this, right? You can go out and buy a book on carpentry, right? Read through the book. Learn about all the different ways of measuring and cutting wood and drilling, and all these different things are right there in that book, man. And you are reading that book and you're doing great reading the book. You put the book down and then you go try and build some complicated, you know, chest of drawers or a china closet or something like that. Not sure it's going to go as well as you're thinking. Because why? Because you may have understanding, right? You received you comprehended what was in the book, but you never had the chance to engage in what was written there, to actually do it. And so for that, you need to connect with somebody that knows, that has experience in that, and can then give you experience, can help you experience what it's actually like to do those things. And that's what this word knowledge is all about. It's engaging in something with another person so that you receive new information through that experience, but it's not intellectual, it's experiential, right? This is how I kind of summarize it. It's the transforming revelation that's imparted to us through personal encounters with God. We're not learning about Him, right? We're not having theological debates about the characteristics of God. No, anytime, you know, we're wanting to know something, some truth, You know, when the Lord says, you know, that it's the joy of the Lord that's our strength. Well, that's an awesome scripture, and we can quote that, we can declare that, we can do whatever with that. But it's not until we come before Him and say, okay, Papa, you say that your joy is my strength. I want to experience that. I want to know what your joy actually feels like. I want to encounter you as the joy giver, as the joy one in me, right? That's what this is talking about. Then we move on to the fear of the Lord. And that, you know, is not being terrified, being, you know, so scared of God that you can't relate to Him in any way. No, it's a reverential awe, no question about it. It's a reverential awe that we experience when we realize that the Creator of all things, the God of the universe, is actually speaking to us and desires real relationship with us. I mean, come on. He is so big and we are so small, and yet He wants us to encounter Him. He values us so much that He wants to enter into this relationship with us, right? And so it's like you stand back and you go, wow, you know. And so part of this is, Lord, I want to have that sense of how awesome You are, of how amazing, how big, how huge You really are, so that I never stop appreciating the fact that, A, that You're speaking to me, and that what You say, I can't ignore or take for granted, right? And that's what He's talking about, right? You know, Paul wrote about this in Philippians 2, verses 12 through 13. He said, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure," right? So He's basically saying that. It's like, you got God in you. So yeah, you better be really on the money in terms of focusing on what He wants to do in your life. This is not a game. It's not a game to Him, and He doesn't want it to be a game to us either, right? So working it out, you know, from the inside out with fear and trembling is this idea that, wow, this is just an amazing, awesome thing that God wants to do in and through me, and I have to give it the highest priority in my life. That's really what He's talking about, right? So as I, you know, as I sum this up, it's a reverential awe that causes us to give tremendous weight and importance to everything He says. So that's kind of a quick overview, right, of what the values mean, what these things mean, so that we can start to understand how they're supposed to function, how we're supposed to function in them in our day-to-day lives, right? So, you know, when Jesus spoke about the kingdom in Matthew 6:33, very familiar verse, He said, "Seek first the kingdom," right? He was very clear that we need to seek out the kingdom of God, to make it a priority in our lives. And so that goes right along with these values. How we live out of these values starts with us seeking to have them, to seek to know them, to seek to experience them, to seek to live with these values in our lives, right? So what are we seeking? We're seeking His wisdom. We're seeking to know, to have the know-how and the skill to be able to do what I need to do, what He wants me to do whenever I need that. I'm seeking to understand more fully what He says to me, both in His Word and through any other means, right? While learning to reject all that's not from Him, right? Seeking to receive and formulate the plans and strategies that He has for me to fulfill. That's what I'm going after. Seeking to step out in faith to do my part confidently and in His strength, knowing He will do His part, right? That's the strength thing that I'm seeking for. I'm seeking to know Him more and more by prioritizing times of encounter with Him so I can be transformed in His presence. That's what I'm seeking, right? I'm seeking to give His revelation And working in my life, the highest priority, cooperating fully with Him so He can do all He desires in and through me. So that's what we're you know, kind of being invited into right now by the Lord, is to see these awesome values that He has, that He wants to impart to us, that He wants for us to experience and begin to live within, so that these things will continually motivate and guide us in what we say, what we do, how we live, right? So what I've done, and I'm going to actually post this teaching in PDF form, so you'll be able to download it and print it out. But what I've done is I've taken these and I've created some declarations. And I'm just going to read through them. Feel free to follow along, you know, with me. And, you know, as I say, I'll post the document with this video, so you'll be able to download that and print it out and use it, and, you know, however you want. But what I see here is this is an awesome way for us to begin to really take these values, right, and just really build them in to who we are, you know. Just an easy way to do it. So here we go. I love your wisdom, Papa. You put me in the one place where I will always have it in abundance, in Christ Jesus, who became for me wisdom from you and righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That's 1 Corinthians 1:30. Thank you for helping me become skilled at applying your truth to my life, to the situations I face, and for the benefit of others who need your wisdom. I will always seek your wisdom, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. Proverbs 8:11. Next one. Thank you, Papa, for giving me the mind of Christ, so I can truly understand and know the things you have freely given to me in Him. And thank you for the ability to discern the source of whatever I'm hearing, whether it's you, my own human reasoning, or the enemy, so I can have total confidence when you speak to me. I greatly desire to understand more of the mysteries you have hidden for me, and I will relentlessly pursue this goal, because the unfolding of your words gives light, it gives understanding to the simple. Psalm 119, 130. Thank you for clear plans and strategies to expand your kingdom here on earth through my life. I declare that my vision and dreams will align with your dream for me. And I expect that my destiny will always be too big for me to accomplish without you. I will always need and seek your specific direction and guidance, because the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart from generation to generation. Psalm 33:11. And many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. Proverbs 19:21. I am so grateful that you have given me all the strength I need to accomplish everything I am called to do in this life. I declare that I truly can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because I am one with you, Jesus, I know I am always working from your place of victory over all things. I will always partner with you to see that everything you created me for is fulfilled and accomplished for your glory. Because I know that those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength, they will mount up with wings like eagles, they will run and not get tired, they will walk and not become weary. Isaiah 40:31. I love you, Papa. And I love that you love me so much that you want me to know you deeply and intimately. Thank you for your eternal invitation to experience life-transforming encounters in your presence, where your amazing revelation sets me free from everything in me that doesn't look like Jesus. Knowing you in this way is my highest priority and greatest delight, and I will never cease from pursuing more of you, because as Jesus declared, this is eternal life, that I may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. John 17:3. I stand in awe of you, Papa God. I am overwhelmed with the truth that you, the all-powerful, all-knowing creator of everything, would consider me worthy to be your child, that you would make me one with you so I can abide in you and you in me. Your words and revelation to me are more precious than anything here on earth, and your amazing grace that empowers me to obey and fulfill them is a gift whose value is beyond comprehension. I want to always feel the weight of your glory on everything you say or show me, so that by your grace I will demonstrate consistently that I am wholly surrendered to you. Wow, that is just so amazing. I mean, words fail me at this point. And I just pray that, you know, as you dig into this and allow Holy Spirit to begin to show you how this is who we really are as His sons and daughters. These are the things that define who we are as His sons and daughters. And as we learn it, as we embrace it, as it becomes just second nature to us, right? It's just like, yeah, no problem. This is who I am. The freedom level that we're going to experience is really going to be mind-blowing. And we're going to be able to do so many amazing things because of that freedom. You know, I'm talking about things that He's had in His heart for us to do that we just couldn't handle up until this point of really becoming unified in our understanding of His value system and how that relates to who we are. So I bless you with this today. If you have any questions or comments or would like to, talk with me further about it, you know, feel free to do that. You can contact us at heavensinvasion@gmail.com, heavensinvasion@gmail.com, and be happy to correspond with you. Or if you're in the area, come and see us on a Sunday night. We would love to have you there and just experience his awesome glory. So thanks so much for taking the time to watch, and I look forward to speaking with you again real soon. Be blessed. Something's moving.